Control-Alt-Delete. How I Grew Up Online. Written and read by Emma Gannon. Introduction. Pics or it didn't happen. That was what someone said to me when I told them I was off to read my teenage diary in front of a load of people in a pub basement. Hidden behind humour was a request for proof. I started to notice that this happens all the time. We obsessively document our lives on social media because the experience itself is now not enough. We basically live face down in pixels and post whatever is in our heads, whenever we want, without a second thought. We're in a constant state of keeping up, whether that be with the Kardashians or our own friends, always rushing for the next big thing. Without realising it, we're weighing up our best angles, wittiest captions, and finest filters before sharing. Frankly, we are the producers, stylists, camera crew, and directors of our own lives, our own Truman Shows. There are even people in the world who say the word hashtag out loud. It's scary out there. It's amazing to think that only 11 years ago, when I was 15, it was all about experimenting with emails, illegally downloading Backstreet Boys songs via Napster or LimeWire, and playing Snake on a pay-as-you-go brick phone that could only churn out 120-character text messages, a good skill to have honed later when Twitter was invented. I had to fight my parents and sister to use the family computer, located in the family computer room, on a desk piled high with blank discs, Encarta, Barbie fashion designer and Pets CD-ROMs. The pixelated computer games only required the spacebar to jump and arrows to move. I had to connect to the internet via a dial-up that would get disconnected every time someone wanted to use the phone. In these first few years online, I learnt to social network way before it was a thing. And it all happened undercover. I was introduced to Bebo, MSN and MySpace, and consequently the embarrassing profiles, incriminating comments and chats. During those digital discovery years, I was also experimenting with the fact that my online self could appear to be a more glamorous, confident version of me, quite far removed from the realities of who I really was. I learnt pretty early on that I could tweak the way my body looked, and age 13, my best friend and I discovered a free photo editing tool, and we got scarily skilled at it. We'd post the photos online, getting compliments by the dozen. To be honest, no one really knew what they were doing back then, or where it would eventually lead, and most of it remained a secret. But looking back now, I'm glad that my teenage self didn't have a smartphone, otherwise I would have definitely posted 17 selfies a day, all with brown lipstick and horrifically bad hairstyles held up by butterfly clips. One of the mean girls at school would definitely have taken a photo of my headgear, a massive piece of kit that hooked to my train track braces in the corners of my mouth and wrapped all the way around my head, and posted it to Instagram with the accompanying hashtags braces, Emma, gross. Growing up with the internet was difficult enough anyway, let alone growing up on the World Wide Web, as young people do today. I'm so glad I don't have those pressures. At some point during my 20s, I sat on my bed refreshing my Facebook page, hoping for a few more likes, and I realised I wanted to stop living in a shallow world of getting hits. I thought about how we're constantly hungry for the new and now, how we write blog posts, quick quips, tweets and statuses, and how we share links, photos and video, all to help cultivate our own brand. And most days, I feel overwhelmed by it all. I thought back to my life growing up with the internet and how it shaped me and continues to shape me. It was during this moment that I'd realised that I needed to write something longer than a blog post, to acknowledge the long road it's taken me to accept myself, to laugh at my online failures and celebrate the good. No glossiness, no filters, no illusions. I wanted to share my story, the story of an imperfect girl making mistakes in the digital world, to encourage others to share theirs, and maybe take their own digital world less seriously. I've cringed as I've typed most of this book, but I felt it was important to put it out into the world, and so here is my attempt at proving our generation can write something longer than a tweet. It would be easy to live behind filters, but what would be the fun in that? Chapter 1. Photoshopping Myself. 2002. Stop.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?